Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. No matter what we go through, no matter how difficult the days get, no matter what tragedies face us, no matter what horrible things may come our way, monster storms that threaten life and property, disagreements in Congress or state houses or city halls or our churches, a gunman who opens fire upon innocent random people, killing 5 and wounding 21, stock market upheavals, accidents and illnesses, injuries and the perils of an unknown future. There is one thing that we can be assured of, one thing that we can depend upon without question, no matter what faces us. And it's that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We may change. Life changes. Our circumstances may change, but God's love does not change. God's love in Jesus Christ does not change, diminish, or go away. God's grace does not vanish. God's mercy does not end. God's forgiveness does not come to a conclusion or an end or change. No matter what we face, we can be assured of that. No matter what we face, we know that Jesus Christ is the same. His love is the same. His grace is the same. His mercy is the same. His peace is the same. His presence is the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. Can I get an amen again? Can I get another amen?
Amen.
But Greg, it's not easy. No, it's not. But the author of the book of Hebrews knew it wasn't easy. He spent chapter 11 chronicling the faith of those who, even though they went through many trials and tribulations, even though they had many pains and hardships, even though they had many failings and stumblings and fallings, David and Bathsheba, they continued looking toward God. They continued in faith. And when they stumbled and when they fell, God picked them up, dusted them off, and put them back on the path. They continued in faith. Faith. Even an imperfect faith in the midst of our own failures connected them and connects us to God. No matter what we face, no matter what pain or difficulty, injury, family strife, fear, concern, be it health concern, family concern, emotional concern, money concern, weather concern, disaster in the community or society or world, we know that Jesus is with us. His love and his presence does not change. We may change. We may forget to pray. We may forget to go to church. We may forget to give. We may forget to serve. We may forget to come for communion. We may forget many things. We may stumble. We may fall. We may fail. Jesus never fails. His grace and his love is perfect. If you hear nothing else today, I want to make sure you hear that. If you take nothing with you outside these doors today, other than this, I'm happy that Jesus does not fail. His grace does not change. His love does not wither. His presence is with you. Hold that close, my friends, in difficult times. And be bound together by God's love with God and with each other. The author writes, let mutual love continue. At first that sounds easy, and it should be, but often it isn't. When we struggle with one another, when we fight and disagree. But you know what? That statement also presumes something to be true that we dare not ignore. The love that we have is mutual. It is for each other. And it continues, which means it's already there. Wow. Sometimes our society, our communities, our cities, our towns, our churches, our families get into arguments and disagreements. Sometimes I get into fights with my brother. Sometimes, most of the time, I get into fights with my brother. There are times when I don't want to talk to him. Because if I do, I'm going to say something I regret. We all know that. We got friends, we got family members that we struggle with. And that we curtail talking to because we know that we'll say something we will regret. Isn't that right? Oh, yeah. But you know what? Even after a shouting match with my brother, once I get away and once I think about it and pray about it and ask God to forgive me for it and start thinking about it again, I realize, you know what? I wouldn't be so angry at my brother if I didn't love him.
Amen.
And I do. I do love him. Let mutual love continue presumes that it's already there. And it is. How dare we let it go? If we are filled with mutual love now, how can we let it go? Let it continue. We've got to do it, by the way. It's not an option. It's not as if it seems like a good idea at the time, or if it doesn't cause me any trouble, or if it's not too difficult, then yeah, I think I'll let mutual love continue. No. The verbs here in verses 1 through 3 are imperatives in the Greek original. That means that they are not optional. You've got to do them. They are directives straight from God. Let mutual love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers. For by doing that, some have entertained angels without knowing it. Oh. Well, maybe that's inconvenient. Sorry. Maybe it doesn't go with our politics. Sorry. Maybe I'd rather not be hospitable to strangers. Sorry. Maybe the strangers are too difficult to deal with. Sorry. Maybe we can forget about the strangers. Sorry. Maybe we can go the other way when we see the strangers. Nope. Sorry. Do not neglect to be hospitable to strangers, for some have entertained angels not knowing it. Wow. We dare not ignore the stranger. The stranger may need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. The stranger may need to see the gospel of Jesus Christ in our own living. The stranger may be looking to you, and Jesus may be wanting to use you as the vehicle for proclaiming the love of God for them. How dare we fail to do that? That's one of the imperatives here. Remember, here's another one. Remember those who are in prison as though you were in prison with them. Well, I'm part of the Emmaus community. I went on a walk to Emmaus in 1997 and I've served on walks to Emmaus many times. Emmaus is an amazing spiritual renewal movement a spiritual growth movement, a movement that is designed to build up leaders in the church. And one of the ministries of Emmaus is Kairos. And Kairos ministries involve taking the gospel of Jesus Christ into the prisons so that those who are imprisoned may hear and receive the good news of Jesus and their lives be transformed as they become disciples of Jesus Christ. They hear about the grace and the love of God, something that they don't hear in prison very often. May we always remember those who are in prison, it says, as if we were in prison with them. Those who are being tortured, as though you yourselves were being tortured. I can think of a number of people who are being tortured right now by sickness, by illness, by false imprisonment, by ignorance of family and friends who ignore them, reject them, drive them away, by people who burrow into their own holes and succumb to the torture of loneliness and fear. We are called to go to them as if we ourselves are being tortured, to be with them and to be Christ's presence with and for them. Again, these are not, if you want us, if you got time, oh, by the way, if you have a few extra minutes, do this, do that. These are imperatives, friends. They're thou shalt's. They are must-dos. Do we do them? I'll confess that I've not been very good at doing them. And yet it's an imperative for me and for you. And so is the next section. Now, the imperative isn't used here, but it's implied by context. Let marriage be held in honor by all. And let the marriage bed be kept undefiled. That's a difficult translation for this passage, but it says essentially that. For God will judge fornicators and adulterers. Marriages. It's not just a wedding, friends. It's a marriage. It is a true union. Together. It is a relationship and a holy, sacramentally divine pairing. And it is to be kept holy, set apart for God, by God's grace, for God's grace, in God's grace. And we dare not violate it one way or the other. One of the most horrific things about marriage in America today is that half of them end in divorce. We, as a people, have lost the sense of value for what marriage is truly supposed to be. Notice it says here that in the midst of it all, and this is true for the love of money as well, we're not to be lovers for money, but to be content with what we have. That's true for our relationships as well. And then it says something that marriage and money should rest upon. I will never leave you or forsake you. So we can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can anyone do to me? No matter what you face, no matter where you are, no matter what difficulty your marriage may be having, No matter what financial problems you may have, and trust me, I know we have them. I look at my bank account and shudder. No matter what we face, because Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, he will never leave us nor forsake us. No matter what we face, the Lord is our helper. We will not be afraid. What can anyone do to us? Wow. In the next verse, remember your leaders, those who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Every Sunday, before I pray, I offer a prayer. I'm going to offer it again. Almighty God, move among us this day, so that we, your people, may always feel and sense your divine power and presence. For we need to know that we are never alone. And speak to us this day in such a way that we may always hear, understand, and remember. Give us your word by which you mold and shape our living. For we need your word to live eternally. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. I learned this prayer from Dr. John Ogden, who was pastor at the time of First United Methodist Church in Richardson, where I came back into the United Methodist Church and declared my candidacy for ministry. John was an intellectual's intellectual and an incredible preacher. I preach with notes. He didn't preach with anything in front of him. He even read the scriptures without a Bible in front of him. It was amazing. The man was incredible. And every Sunday before he preached, he prayed a prayer that was close to this, almost identical to this. I changed a word here or there. But that prayer has formed me. I don't remember a whole lot of the things he preached. This was 33 years ago. But this prayer has stuck with me for those 33 years. Especially the hear, understand, and remember part. Because that's my challenge. When I go to worship services and hear preachers, first of all, you have to know that clergy, pastors, preachers are terrible with each other. We sit out there and we judge the message we're hearing. We're saying to ourselves, I could have preached that better, more interestingly. They would have laughed more, they would have cried more, and they would have walked away with a far more if I had been up there preaching that. Yeah, right. But we do that. I do that. So every time I go and I hear a sermon preached, don't care where it is, even though they're praying something different, I pray this in my head, because I know I have to hear, understand, and remember for the word to change me. And that's my prayer for you. This prayer stuck with me for 33 years. May it stick with me for 33 more. And now we come to our verse. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Do not be carried away by all kinds of strange teachings. And my friends, there are lots of strange teachings out there. Just look at YouTube. Oh boy. For it is well for the heart to be strengthened by grace. Not by regulations about food, which have not benefited those who observe them. At the time, there were arguments. Could you be a Christian if you ate pork, bacon? Could you be a Christian if you had pork chops for dinner? Could you be a Christian if you ate medium rare steak? Could you be a Christian if you ate catfish, or the equivalent in that culture? And the answer from the Jewish Christians was no. Regulations about food are critical and important. The author of the Hebrews is saying, no, those are strange teachings. It is well for the heart to be strengthened by grace. Rules and regulations, do-dos and don't-dos, thou shalt and thou shalt nots, anything that is governed not by grace is a strange teaching. No, because Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, it is his grace, his love, and his presence upon which we stand, in which we rest, and by which we walk. For here we have no lasting city, but we're looking for the city that is to come. This world is fleeting. It will pass. The violence in this world, it will pass. The pain in this world, it will pass. The fears of this world, it will pass. But we're looking for a city yet to come, the heavenly Jerusalem, where we will feast at the marriage supper of the Lamb. We will gather around the table with disciples from all time and all space. And Jesus will be there to preside. And he will give us his love eternally. That's the city we're going to. That's the life of grace we have to live. When you come today, you will be partaking in that grace, of that grace, by that grace. You will be partaking of Jesus, who is the same love of God, yesterday, today, and forever. Come and partake, come and be fed, come and be transformed into a greater and greater likeness of the love of God in Jesus. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And may God's people say, Amen.